This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, this is your guest for the Second Amendment News Hour, and your host, yours truly, Larry Pratt, here to talk about, I love the subtitle of my guest's book. My guest is Theodore Roosevelt Malick, and the subtitle is My Life Behind the Elite Curtain. The title is Davos, Aspen, and Yale, and that kind of, I guess, ties together a lot of the main foci of the axis of the elite here in Europe. And Ted Malick has had a lot of experience with this elite. You, frankly, Ted, you have a very unusual background, a Christian, a conservative, and somebody who was, maybe I should say, an embed in the elite.
Yeah, no, it's not something that you, you know, some people say, well, how did you do that? Or, you know, how could I copy that? Or, you know, how do you build a resume to do that? It simply happens. And it's, I mean, it's somewhat a, you know, prospect of being at the right place at the right time. Or if you are, as I am, a person of faith, of saying that God has called you and that the providence opens up a lot of possibilities.
Well, it certainly did in your case. Your life has been full of interesting possibilities, and the fact that you have had some contact with one of my favorite politicians of the last century, Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, somebody who wasn't really all that typical of my stereotype of British and certainly European culture, she identified you as a global Sherpa. Maybe you ought to interpret that, because not everybody is probably familiar with the Tibetan guides.
Say about the context, we organized a very large conference for about 2,500 business persons, CEOs, ministers, in 1992, which seems like a very long time ago.
Right? Yeah, it does.
And she was the chairperson. We convinced her to be the chairperson and to give the keynote address at that conference live on what was then a respectable station called CNN. Things have changed. When she was introduced at a breakfast privately with a smaller group, she called me a global Sherpa, which means somebody, basically a Sherpa is a person in the Himalayas who helps the hikers, the great adventurers, get to the top of the summit. So it was a great compliment, and I've used it as a moniker ever since. And you know, I adore Margaret Thatcher. I'm glad to hear you do. She was one heck of an Iron Lady. She gave a speech that day that basically shook the world, and it was a master treaty speech where she basically took the European Union to task, said that the pound will never be part of the European monetary system, and she basically laid out the law, laid down the law. Now, she had left the prime ministership, but her Conservative Party, I think, has ever since been very much at her command.
Well, she hopefully will remain the dominant spirit of the Conservative Party. It's possible that people like Nigel Farage are going to keep it somewhat within the fold of a truly conservative orientation. I wouldn't say there's any likelihood of that coming, that kind of pressure coming from the current Prime Minister Theresa May, who seems to be, she'd be a great Republican here in the United States, feckless, spineless, and directionless. She just wants to be liked by everybody. Everything I can think of to describe a Republican, I think, would 9 times out of 10 or more fit Theresa May. And that is what people like Nigel Farage have been fighting, and maybe not totally fruitless in that endeavor. We can hope that England will come back. After all, our intellectual and spiritual history heritage really roots in England, and you hate to see a country with as great a tradition and a past as that, kind of slowly sinking into the goo. You have a background that is just really quite unique, I guess we could say. And the title of your book does sum it up, Davos, Aspen, and Yale. So you're a Yalie, and you've been associated with Aspen conferences, and I love your description of some of their orientation. And Davos.
Yes, I do stick the finger and sometimes both eyes when I describe these organizations. So in some ways, while I have been a partaker at a younger age, I'm often not invited back because I've actually told the truth about some of these places. My story about Yale in the book, of course, is about the great debate we had in my final term there. The resolve was embrace American exceptionalism.
It's amazing that they let you even put that on the table as the topic for the debate.
Well, even more amazing is that, with some debating points and finesse, I must say, we actually won the debate by one vote at Yale University.
Wow. So, we don't hear much about that. You made the point, and I think it's fair to bring to the audience here, that as bad as things were when Buckley was there, and perhaps it was a little bit alike when I was at the American University well into the last century, it was liberal, and there was an occasional professor who would flame when he realized that I was presenting conservative views and graduate.
But you could have a conversation, people respecting each other. At least some tolerance, you could say, to use the word.
That is not the time. No,
these universities, and I've been associated with a number of them, both teaching and on the boards, have become places of indoctrination. And I jokingly say, I think I said in this book, that the far right wing at Yale University begins with Barack Obama.
Actually, that's it sounds tongue-in-cheek, but that's probably not far from the mark.
It's not. I can only name six people on the faculty of over 1,000 people who voted for then-President Bush. I suspect if that's how many voted for Trump, if I were still there, I might be in a singular position.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, and I would think the same might be the case at my alma mater, although I really haven't had much contact with them. I used to get invitations to speak to a class every semester or so. Turns out it was a Christian lady who, interestingly, attends my Presbyterian church now, who was born abroad and was inviting speakers to come in so that her foreign-born students taking the English as a second language course would have a chance to hear ideas from America in American accents as they went through their studies at American University. Once she left, I can assure you, the red carpet was rolled up behind her.
The remarkable thing about universities, not that all are identical, and I have four children, and I told them to study science, not economics and politics.
Mm-hmm.
But the remarkable thing is that most parents, even at these very elite universities, are willing to fork out enormous sums of money to have their students taught values that are inimical to their own, and then reject both common sense and capitalism, only to find out that the labor market really doesn't respect them afterwards, and they have to find a job.
Indeed. I really kind of feel sorry for the kids that took a major in English or something of that sort, or something even more bizarre, and end up looking for a job and wondering why nobody will even talk to them. That probably can help explain some of the resentment that the millennial generation often expresses.
Indeed. So, the book overall, of course, I wrote this book, it's written in a very funny kind of B.J. O'Rourke kind of tongue-in-cheek way, but we were having a Christmas brunch with my sons, and one of them is married to my daughter in New York City, with too many mimosas, I might add, and they asked me the question, Dad, what is it you have done? Which is,
we're coming up on a break, so let me ask you to hold the answer to that question that she asked, what have you done? And we'll pick up on what have you done when we get back from the break.
that safe drinking water is the second most essential human need? Don't take your water for granted. Know what you're drinking. Get a ProPure 10 in-home water test kit for just $20, a $39 value, and test for 10 different water contaminants and conditions. Takes about 10 minutes and works with most potable city and well water sources. No salesman will call. Order your test kit today and receive a $20 coupon good towards the purchase of a ProPure water filter system. Visit a participating authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
And I want to welcome you back to the Second Amendment News Hour. My guest today is Theodore Roosevelt Malik. We're talking about his book, Davos, Aspen, and Yale. And we were, as we headed into the break, talking about a comment, or a question, really, that his daughter had asked, what have you done, Dad?
Well, I'm sure most parents get this question. In my case, I've been so many places, had many different titles, and frankly, I've been on airplanes all the time. So it was a very legitimate question to ask. Mm-hmm. So I decided to write it all out and in a kind of a chapter by chapter episode, both chronologically and humorously. And Linda Bridges, of course, the late great editor of the National Review, said when she reviewed the book, she said that Ted Malik is a bon vivant, scholar, diplomat, businessman, sportsman, and we're fortunate that he brings us along on some of his greatest adventures. So I wrote that in this kind of adventurous spirit. At the end of every chapter, I actually list 13 things that people could take away that are interesting, valuable kind of mementos. My favorite wines, my favorite cigars, my favorite malt whiskey, single malt whiskeys, my favorite Christian hymns, my favorite Bible verses. Some of your readers would be particularly interested, I think, on page 152, where I list my 13 favorite guns.
Yeah, not the standard literary effort one would expect from a Yalie, but I'm glad that you have done it, because I really think it's pretty helpful. One of the observations that I wanted to emphasize that you have in the book is the idea that when you were at Davos and you were running conferences there, the Davos man has a similar view of guns and capital, that they always need to be controlled. You probably could have made an even more general statement that everything needs to be controlled because you can't trust the plebeians out there. Otherwise, they go crazy. But in any case, I thought that was a great summary of a worldview, that the liberal elite, which doesn't tell us how they've become the elite and why they deserve our allegiance. Nevertheless, they do have that similar view of guns and capital, yeah. And let's get the regulation book churning.
Well, they've never been accused of suggesting that we have too little government. The solution to everything is more government, and of course, the mentality, as we would call it today, is globalist. So national governments are insufficient. Certainly, the American government is. I mean, it's a very anti-American kind of climate in these elites. But the national governments are not respected. So what we need is multinational organizations, and particularly supranational organizations with unelected experts. And this gets to the whole point of who these experts are. Who
can now, I would think that what makes their heart go pitter-pat is the European Union with the bureaucrats that are not elected. And there's a real battle going on now between the British that came mighty close to joining and trying to extract themselves, and what these bureaucrats are doing to them. It's almost a reminder of what we went through in the 18th century when we were ruled by our government in London.
Well, it's not a bad analogy, come to think of it. Of course, the Brits made that decision now 2 years ago. The extraction has been slow and painful. I would like to see it expedited. And there could still be a very sharp, what they call a clean Brexit. What's more interesting to me, and of course I've been in the European theater here for the last 5 years, is that many other countries have similar movements. So that I was in Italy, just last week. They now have a populist government, coalition government of the kind of populist left and the populist right, and they are making moves that are, of course, very disconcerting to the elites in the European Union in Brussels, Poland, Hungary. We can go down the list. All these countries actually have growing movements, and it is an interesting phenomenon. I would call it the pendulum swinging back the opposite way and basically crashing against this globalist mentality.
And if I'm not mistaken, outside of London and maybe Birmingham, England, a lot of the rest of the country is kind of like, say, Illinois, dominated by Chicago, and loopy as it could be. But in the rest of the state, it's really very normal, and people work hard and very sensible.
Talking about England or Great Britain, which, of course, is composed of England, Wales, and Scotland, or the United Kingdom, which would include Northern Ireland as well. So you put all those different nomenclatures. But, I mean, we have what sometimes is referred to as Middle England, which is a lot like the Midwest, rock solid, strong values, still a higher commitment to faith, traditional communities, the family, all those values that we, I think, need to abide with. And except for the two coasts in America, I think most of Americans still do.
I would hope that England is changing in one respect. I had interviewed the author of a really very good book, Londonistan, and she was talking about years ago the threat of the change of culture, the impact of Islam in England. And when I mentioned in the context of the crime rate that was rising in London because of the almost ungovernable immigrant population, and suggested that what a pity that in England there really wasn't the same tradition of an armed populace, she almost hung up in the middle of the interview. Very conservative on all these other issues. And when we got to guns, she almost shot me.
Yeah, they have a very different attitude towards policing and towards guns. Fortunately, still, though, in Britain, they have a great tradition of hunting, which I partake in, and bird hunting in particular, but also stalking of larger animals like deer. So there is a portion of the population that is not averse altogether to guns. I mean, they do have a lot of regulation.
But they don't own guns as part of a worldview that says that the people are the sovereign, not the government. And yet I see in Eastern Europe, Central Europe perhaps more precisely, an emerging, we're seeing more of a view that understands that guns are something that should be individually owned. I've talked with people from the Czech Republic, and it's probably as easy to buy an AR-15 in the Czech Republic as it is in my state of Virginia.
Interesting.
And so there's really some different winds that are blowing, and hopefully they'll help ventilate England as well.
Well, it is a mistake to think that Europe is all of one cloth. I mean, the beautiful thing about Europe is that they speak different languages, serve different cuisines, you know, have very different mores and cultures and histories and art and literature, etc. And the fascinating thing is, of course, to travel around Europe and partake in that tapestry. So the worst thing that it would be monolithic and gray and all born out of Brussels.
Well, it gave me some hope to talk to these people from Central Europe. In fact, one of the fellows I've talked to is an American and married a Czech, and they're living happily in this place that is probably as free as my home in Virginia. We're coming up to a break. My guest is Peter Roosevelt Malick, the author of Davis, Aspen, and Yale, and we're going to be right back with the Second Amendment News Hour. Don't go away.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035.
That's 800-667-9035.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Second Amendment News Hour is Theodore Roosevelt Malik. He got the first two names because his family has ties to both Theodore Roosevelt and FDR. But we're talking to a man of the, probably more importantly, ideas closer to that of the 18th century American, somebody who really does subscribe to the people as the sovereign, as the ruler. And the idea that we are subjects is happily something we gave up all along about 1782 or so in a final fashion. So,
well, there is a chapter in my book about growing up in Philadelphia. Of course, when I grew up there, it was the city of brotherly love. And, there's always this debate with Boston, but it's the cradle of liberty and Independence Hall and all that. But it became, while I grew up there, and certainly in my teenage years, the city of brotherly hate. So I grew up in that period in America, and I watched the 1960s unfold during my teenage days.
Well, I can relate to that, although I was about 10 years beyond. But I would get back home often enough in the New Jersey suburbs of Philadelphia to have seen the very thing that you're talking about. So I know I can second your motion. You're not the only one to have seen that. I wanted to go to something in your book that just was fascinating. If you mentioned what European border you were trying to cross, I didn't make a note. But you talked about having to spend quite a bit of time at this one border crossing. I presume this was some years ago when there was still a Soviet Union. A lot of the time that you were stopped there was spent while a guard was reading your good news version of the Holy Bible. And I thought, that was not the normal event.
It was the Soviet Union. And it's almost biblical proportions here. I was asked by numerous border guards and my tourists. I had a group I was leading of college university students as a young professor to deny the gospel three times. So I felt like some kind of hearing prose, but chickens, roosters crowing. But what was interesting to me is for the next 2 weeks, whatever it was, 10 days, while we drove across those great steps of Russia to Moscow and out through what was still Leningrad, that in-tourist guide read every chapter and consumed the entire Good News Bible.
That's really extraordinary, and it reaffirms to me that probably the best evangelist that we've ever had is the Bible itself. If somebody will actually read it, it may well convict them and could very well change their whole worldview, their whole attitude. I was intrigued, and I wanted to explore with you during our conversation something that you reported about the Chinese Premier Wen, who... this one is still kind of amazes me. He told you, I don't know whether he had to whisper it or not, that he was reading Adam Smith, and he thought that Adam Smith would have a lot to say to China if he could bring that about.
Huh? Well, the Chinese are very shrewd and very well read, at least some of their leaders, many of whom send their own children to the best universities in the States and Canada and Britain. But, he was absolutely convinced that if you're going to have capitalism, you had to have some moral core behind that capitalism. Certainly Christianity is a growing phenomenon in China, but he thought that Confucianism could be that kind of core, that you actually needed something of a moral weight to defeat the corruption that was so flagrant in the Chinese economy. I thought it was a great insight, and I was invited to China to give this massive address to like a couple thousand people of Chinese managers. Now, I don't know how they translated some of the things that I said, because I did sneak some really devious stuff into that speech.
Well,
I offered to help build a museum to show the crimes of Chinese communism, but I doubt that was translated, in the vernacular.
Perhaps, although I've done simultaneous translation into Spanish, and I know that you can get so focused on just trying to get it accurately
done, yeah,
that oops, what did I just say? And it's already done. So maybe you got away with it. We can only hope. But it's extraordinary that here you have the head of a tyranny who recognizes that in the long run, they better settle with something more than Confucius.
You know, it's fascinating. I would say that's an unusual circumstance. But in my travels around the world, I've had a lot, because of my own background, of spiritual discussions with people. I've never looked Putin in the eyes. Let me met Putin, but I'm reminded of the famous Bush statement. But yeah, a lot of people do have a hunger for, it's kind of a teleological question: why are we here? What is our purpose? What is my life about? How do I make meaning out of this whole thing? Is it just a collection of facts or more money? How do I have some influence over something? And this question of direction is interesting. I think, at the deeper level, when you can get to that, whether it's a CEO or a common person, we're all structured as human beings.
It would be interesting to look back some years from now to see if anything comes of Premier Wen's observation about the need for having some kind of a moral underpinning for business. Because ultimately, that moral underpinning that he was talking about, I think, really only can work in a place like America, or perhaps increasingly in Central Europe, where they understand, and maybe some of us still remember, the advantages of having the idea of a sovereign people, that the people are the boss, that we vote for our leaders, and when we don't like them, we get rid of them, and they're under a law that they can't fiddle with. These are concepts that I think would terrify even a Premier Wen, as curious as he was about Adam Smith.
No, indeed. My chapter is called Peking Duck, China and Transition. And, because there is great transformation over the decades in China. But this great contradiction is still lodged in the Chinese reality, and that is the contradiction of having more and more, at least an attempt at a capitalist economy, not perfect by any means, still very much state-owned, and a political system that is totalitarian, communist, and militarized. And that contradiction, I think, will spell the doom, I would say, inevitably, of the People's Republic of China.
Well, we can hope so. The pincer that they might be in the grip between a growing Christian faith among so many people in China. I've seen numbers that indicate they might have more Christian believers than we have people in the United States. That's a lot. But, of course, they're politically powerless. They don't have a political tradition. They haven't connected their Christianity with the ideas of the Madisons and the Jeffersons of the 18th century America. And so they probably have a long way to go, but the seeds of trouble are there. And I was just fascinated that your conversation with Premier Wen indicated that maybe he doesn't even realize the consequences of some of the things he was interested in.
Well, I think he's cognizant, or people like him are cognizant. It doesn't mean that they're moving rapidly in the direction we'd always like to see.
Right.
That's true of world leaders everywhere. I mean, which brings me back, I mean, to my very American tale. I'm a patriot. I'm a God-fearing, loving American, you know, whose entire background basically is a Cold Warrior. I mean, I was born a Cold Warrior.
Well, that seems to explain why you're no longer at Yale. We're hear the music. We're coming up on our last break, so I just want to let folks know that you're listening to the Second Amendment News Hour. My guest today is Theodore Roosevelt Malik. This is Larry Pratt. We'll be right back.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We are talking today with Theodore Roosevelt Malick. He's the author of Davis, Aspen, and Yale. And you're listening to the State of Minute News Hour. I'm Larry Pratt, your host for the program. The book is really fascinating. It touches on so many different points in what is happening today. You bring a perspective that's enriched from your foreign experience, and as someone who's traveled abroad, not nearly as much as you, but I've seen some of the differences between us and the rest of the world. Every time I get back, it makes me appreciate, wow, we really are different. You really can say that this is an exceptional country. All of its warts, truthfully recognized, we still are so far ahead in so many ways of so many places in the rest of the world. That, I think, is something that is probably very politically incorrect, and that's a shame because it almost is a discussion that gets shut down before it can be held in so many academic places.
American greatness, I mean, America came to greatness, I would think, in its very founding, but certainly economically in the 18th, 19th centuries, it grew militarily. I mean, culturally, there is really no phenomenon, I would argue, even in world history, that parallels America. So we should be very respectful of the city on the hill that we have built. And I'd like to offer, Larry, to your listeners, I know you said I could do this, email me at trmallock, M-A-L-L-O-C-H, at gmail.com. I'd like to offer them this book. I'll even mail it to them, price included, for $12. I've got a bunch of copies, and you can't buy it anywhere else for that. So it's a very good read. It's also, I think, a very good book to pass on to somebody in your family, a student, somebody that's, what can you say, still working their way up the ladder. I wrote this to encourage people, so it's very encouraging.
Well, I could say that having taken a graduate-level course in intellectual history, would that this had been my textbook. I remember that when I was reporting on a book in this seminar, there was only about a dozen of us in the class, I was telling the class about a book that I had chosen for to report on our look at intellectual history, and I chose Eric Vogelin's book, Oriental Despotism.
Well, oh my goodness.
To my knowledge, Vogelin is not a Christian, or was not, he's probably no longer with us, but he wrote very insightfully about the many tyrannies around the world, and particularly throughout history, particularly in Asia, hence Oriental Despotism. Probably he was writing as a warning to the West. But anyway, during my presentation of Eric Vogelin's Oriental Despotism, my professor jumped up from the conference table about around which we were sitting, slammed his fist on the table and said, "I know what this guy is. He's got infected." That was probably as close as I ever came to the more frequent experience of the left, the millennial inability, the snowflakeism that has so beset academe today. So it was there when I was there, but it struck me that, wow, there really is a hostility. And as far as I could tell, Vogelin was not a Christian. He was just reporting on how religion had been used as a tool of political control.
Well, it's actually quite fascinating. This is a total aside, but in my doctoral dissertation, I have a whole chapter on Vogelin and another long couple of chapters on Herman Dooyeweerd, who's a parallel jurist, juridical thinker from the Netherlands. So,
right.
Yes, intellectual history is very important. I grew up reading both the Bible on one hand, and I still have them right here in front of me, my set of 52 great books given to me by my own great father, because I need to learn the Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian history of the world.
Well, apparently we're moving farther and farther away from that. By your own account, while you were at Yale, a student asked, as you were talking about virtuous companies, what's virtue?
I found it, disturbing and humorous, but what did alarm me slightly more is that class of, these are MBA students. They're not even undergraduates. These are older students who are, somewhat experienced. They knew a lot about vice, and they could articulate the vices, and they watch these movies and Miami Vice and Jersey Shore or whatever. We could have a good laugh. But when it came to talking about the good, the beautiful, the true, and particularly what those virtues were, both in antiquity and maybe up until modernity, they were almost unable to carry a conversation.
Well, that I think is probably what I was finding even many years ago when I was at graduate school, and obviously hasn't gotten any better. In fact, when confronted with a question like, what do you mean by that? Or do you realize that if that's where we go, then the next step might be X? They don't see that their view of government is inherently a tyrannical one. That's okay, I guess, as long as they're being the one to control the tyranny. And the shallowness of the thinking of these folks that are coming out of the university now is it's a little disturbing just to, when you think of what are they going to be able to do? What are they going to be able to produce? All they can do is stamp their foot and have a temper tantrum.
Increasingly the case, but I do have a couple of chapters on my governmental experience. I was at the State Department. I was serving as a professional staff member at the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, and I did have an ambassadorial position in the United Nations, which title I have always finding the lowest common denominator. So I have a fairly experienced view in government and a particularly low view of the United Nations.
Well, that's why I guess we seem to have been on parallel paths. We're still heading in that same direction, and that's very encouraging. You set up a company, and you talk a lot of, in a part of the book about spiritual capital. Yes. I'll bet that gets eyes rolled back when you present that notion at university.
Well, it does, but it also interests some people who have this inkling, and you can't deny that universities did have a spiritual basis. Many of them still do. Some do. I mean, some traditions. Hospitals have these odd-sounding names, lots of voluntary associations grew out of this charitable vein, which is not just an American but a Western tradition, that our families still worship. I mean, at least some of them do in certain places. So what is this spiritual inkling, and how does that capital take shape, form, and why does it give rise to so many of these, what we might call intermediating structures, which are very important. It's really where we live our lives. And if, here's my point, if we have a legacy in all of this capital and in all of these institutions, how are we going to reinvest in them in a much more secular age?
Well, we've certainly got to have an eye on that, and it seems to me that the whole concept of freedom needs to be constantly reiterated with each generation. And I've tried to make this point in the Second Amendment community that we need to have an awareness that the Second Amendment doesn't just exist apart somewhere out in space by itself, that it's in the framework. It's part of the warp and woof of a constitution, a system of law, of a worldview. And if we don't address it ultimately from that standpoint, a little bit farther back from just defending my ability to keep a gun on my person, in my glove box, in my house, etc., we're going to lose them ultimately, because there's no other way, I think, to effectively defend the Second Amendment than to put it in that larger context.
Yes, no, the context is absolutely critical, and that means understanding your own history. I hope living a good and decent life according to and also, you know, bringing up your children and your grandchildren and your neighborhood along those same ways. I mean, the final chapter in my book is called Finding the Spirit, and I talk about my relationship, my very long and dear relationship with Sir John Templeton, who, of course, is one of the great investors in the world, died a decade or more ago.
Well, we're going to have to leave our conversation at that point with Sir Templeton. If folks would like to read about that and more, you can get Davos, Aston, and Yale at trmollick@gmail.com, as Ted was saying, at best price available. Thank you so much for being part of the Second Amendment News Hour today. Really appreciate your book, and hopefully it's going to be in a lot of shows.
Great talk.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com. Announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com, or call our order line 888-212-8871.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.